Chapter 17. Dagobah. Grogu was having a dream. In Grogu's dream, he was very old. By the standards of most sentient life, he was ancient. But even by his own, he knew he was nearing his maximum natural lifespan. Centuries of knowledge and folly in equal measure weighed heavily on his mind. His joints ached, his body was hunched over, the gnarled wooden handle of his walking stick. He moved slowly around his home in the swamp, eating and walking and sleeping and thinking, waiting. The Force kept him alive. That part of him, at least, was as strong as it had ever been. If he reached out, he could cast his awareness systems away. Feel the threads of the universe weave between each other. Follow each strand of it. He could forge connections to minds completely dissimilar to his own. He did not do any of those things. But he could have. Once he died, once he rejoined the Force, he'd still be able to do most of those things. Because a Jedi that had lived and learned for as long as he had could never truly be gone. But he couldn't restore balance to the Force. He couldn't restore the hope of a shattered galaxy. For that, he had to wait. So Yoda waited. When Grogu woke up, he was in a cot, nestled under the arm of his sleeping Bwir. It was very warm and comfortable, but unfortunately, his Bwir had to wake up now. Grogu had to speak with Master Cal about a matter of great importance, and he was sure his Bwir would want to be awake when Master Cal arrived. "Patu," Grogu said. He crawled up his Bwir and reached for the fabric at his neck. Disturbances in this area resulted in consciousness on most occasions. "Wah!" Grogu shouted, flapping his hand right below the chin of the shiny helmet. His Bwir awoke with a start, but was careful not to jostle him. Grogu's Bwir was considerate like that. His Bwir asked groggily. "On food, Womp Rat?" That wasn't the point of this, but Grogu couldn't say no to food. Cal was woken up by Grogu that morning, well before dawn. He was tugging impatiently on their training bond, which was odd enough that Cal bypassed his morning routine in favor of pulling on the nearest poncho, dark green, over his shirt and trousers from the day before and bolting down the hall towards Din's quarters. When he arrived, however, he was greeted by the typical morning scene of the Mandalorian at the little dining table, feeding slices of breakfast meat to Grogu. Din looked up when Cal skidded into the room. "Good morning," Din said. Then, undoubtedly noticing Cal's disheveled appearance, Cal was trying very hard not to think about the state of his hair. He asked, "Are you okay?" "Grogu said he needed to see me immediately." They both looked at the kid, who was focused entirely on a piece of meat. At Cal's mental prodding, Grogu's big eyes turned on him. Through their bond, Cal saw a strange, swampy landscape and a rounded hut tucked in the roots of a scraggly, mud-covered tree. Grogu wanted to go there. The only problem was that Cal didn't know where there was. "He had a vision last night," Cal informed Din, who was looking back and forth between them anxiously. "He needs to go somewhere. Know of any dark, swampy planets with huts?"
"None come to mind."
"I'll go see what I can dig up," Cal yawned. The adrenaline boost of waking up in a panic had worn off.
"Then maybe we'll go for a little field trip. How does that sound?"
"Bugu,"
Grogu agreed.
"Great. I'm gonna..." Cal gestured vaguely at himself. "Go wake up. Or go back to sleep. I haven't decided yet."
"That sounds like Dagobah," Master Skywalker said when Cal told him about Grogu's vision. "At a more respectable hour of the morning." They stood just outside the temple,
watching Master Skywalker's students lift rocks in the courtyard, with varying degrees of success. Master Yoda was living there when I found him, the other Jedi explained. Skywalker's cheerful demeanor became abruptly sullen. He died there, before I officially finished my training. Grogu wants to go there. I guess that makes sense. None of us know any others of his kind. They probably knew each other, at least a little, before the Empire. All right, then, Skywalker agreed. A word of warning, though. Do not land your ship anywhere near the bogs. Anywhere near them. Seriously, don't let your droid poke around in there either. Noted. It didn't take Din long to decide that Dagobah was not his favorite planet. The swamplands they flew over were covered in a layer of low-hanging fog so thick that Din could only see the brownish-green tips of the trees poking through. He had to attempt the landing 3 times before he found a patch of ground that was solid enough and dry enough to bear the weight of the ship without it sinking. Din had only just gotten the thing fixed up. He wasn't keen on excavating it from the mud. Skywalker's old flight data seems to indicate that we're a few clicks away, Din said to his companions, checking their coordinates on the inside of his visor and comparing them with the holomap that Skywalker had given BD-1. We still have a few hours of daylight. Let's find the place and make camp, then check it out in the morning. Sounds good, Cal said, swinging a small pack onto his shoulders. BD, you want to lead the way? The droid scuttled off the ship, beeping lightly to itself, only pausing for a moment to test the wet ground before darting off. They made their way east, listening out for any potentially unsavory life forms, though it would have been hard to hear the movement of a predator over the calls of insects and the squelching sounds of their own footsteps. The air was hot and humid, and they'd barely been walking half an hour when Din started to feel an unpleasant dampness under his armor. Why couldn't you have had a force vision about, I don't know, Cloud City? Or Bogano? Hell, even Dathomir is nicer this time of the year, Cal complained as he unstuck his boot from some suspicious-looking muck. His red hair was damp with condensation and sweat. The edges of his poncho were becoming more brown than green. In Din's arms, Grogu chirped delightedly. The kid, for one, seemed utterly content. His ears wiggled with every sound of the jungle, and his wide eyes stared around excitedly, no doubt looking for frogs. Easy for you to say. You don't have to walk, Cal said. Sometimes Din wasn't sure if Cal replied aloud to Grogu's thoughts for Din's benefit, or if he wasn't reading the kid's thoughts at all and simply guessing what his many little baby sounds meant, just as Din did. I could carry you both, Din said, holding up a wayward vine for Cal to duck under. Cal laughed as he brushed by Din, closer than strictly necessary. I'm heavier than I look, you know. Oh, is that one of your magic powers? Actually, it's the muscle mass I've built up trying to keep you out of trouble. I think it's just the weight of your ponchos. Har har. Despite the uncomfortable hike, Din's cheeks ached from smiling behind his helmet by the time they reached a small clearing beside a mist-covered lagoon, just as the patches of gray sky overhead were beginning to darken. His feet felt heavy from the layers of grime on his boots and the long afternoon of walking. We're here, Cal said. Sense anything, little one? He asked Grogu, whose eyes were narrowed thoughtfully. He thinks it's the right place, but he's tired. Once we rest, we can poke around for Yoda's hut. Din nodded and set Grogu down on a tree stump so he could slide his bag off his shoulder and unpack. A bedroll, 2 canteens of water, some nutrient bars, a lantern. I'd stay away from the water. Master Skywalker was right. BD says there's something big in there. Big and tentacly. You hear that, Womp Rat? No swimming in the lagoon, Din said. Do you think? Din started to say, but cut himself off when he glanced up at Cal, who'd pulled his poncho over his head and was trying to scrape some of the mud off. The thing about ponchos was that they were utterly shapeless. Since Din had only ever seen Cal wearing a poncho, he found his mind completely sidetracked by the sight of him out of it. He seemed not smaller exactly, but slighter. The dark shirt he wore under his poncho was slightly loose around the waist, but the thin material clung in patches where sweat adhered it to Cal's skin, hinting at the compact, tightly wound muscle no doubt hiding underneath. "Never gonna get this clean," Cal muttered to his poncho. "Oh well, it's too warm for it anyway. Sorry, what were you saying?" Din wrenched his thoughts back to the conversation. "Do you think whatever's in the lagoon can reach us over here?" Cal tossed his poncho on the ground beside his own bedroll and looked back at the water. "Nah, I'm sure it's fine." Grogu once again was the first to wake up the next morning. It was still dark, but he felt that he had places to be. He crawled to his feet slowly, making sure not to disturb his Bwir and Master Cal. Below, where he'd slept securely between the two of them, their hands reached towards each other, fingers just centimeters apart. Grogu heard the croak of something scaly and probably delicious. He tottered around the deeply sleeping forms and made his way toward the sound. The two humans slept, but Grogu did wake BD-1. The droid unfolded itself and flexed his joints, beeping quietly at Grogu. Fine then, BD-1 could follow, as long as he didn't interfere with the hunt. Up ahead, the delicious thing hopped out from behind a mossy log away from him. It was a little brown frog. Grogu followed it. The frog hopped unhurriedly along the tree line, around the lagoon, neither wanting to be eaten nor making a convincing effort to escape. Grogu was many things, but he was not fast. BD-1 obediently kept pace behind him. At last, the frog allowed Grogu to catch up, but just as his hands were about to close around its slimy middle, Grogu heard a friendly voice. "Nutrition bars, not interesting enough prey, are they, In front of Grogu, where there had been no one before, stood the ghost of a sentient that looked a lot like Grogu, except for that he was very old. Grogu knew that he was a ghost because he could see right through him, like a holophoto, and because he was Grandmaster Yoda, and Grandmaster Yoda was dead. "Remember me, do you?" Grogu did remember him. Yoda sensed this and smiled down at Grogu fondly, just as he had once done at the temple. Grogu remembered their interactions vividly, because they were the only times he'd ever interacted with someone of his own species. "Too much you have seen, little one. Sorry for it, I am." "Bah," Grogu said, and Yoda chuckled. "Come, come. I see you found my home. Things to show you I have." Indeed, the frog had led Grogu to an abandoned mud hut. It looked a bit creepy, but Grogu was with BD-1 and the ghost of Yoda, so he was not especially concerned. Cal shook Din's shoulder gently. The Mandalorian groaned sleepily. "Don't panic, because I can sense that they're okay, but I'm not entirely sure where Grogu and BD-1 went." Din was up instantly. "Where?" "Not far, I don't think." Cal followed his senses around the lagoon, reaching to feel for danger, but there were only the morning stirrings of critters in the jungle and the dripping of the damp leaves. No darkness, only balance. Beside him, the Mandalorian's stress was palpable. Soon they came upon the hut that Cal recognized from Grogu's dream. Yoda's hut. It was very short, which made sense, and was craftily constructed under the roots of a gnarl tree. Through the little round windows, Cal could see a light moving around. BD-1's head poked out of the doorway, summoning them with a shrill series of beeps. Grogu joined him a moment later, holding a small pouch in his hands. "There you are," Din said, already kneeling by his kid. "Please don't run off like that again." Grogu cooed in reply. "What have you got there?" Cal asked, gesturing to the pouch. Grogu reached inside with one hand and produced, "Is that a tiny lightsaber?"
"Yeah, maybe I should hold on to that for now."
Late that afternoon, they started back to the ship. Cal turned Yoda's lightsaber over in the palm of his hand as they trudged through the mud. It was untarnished, despite the years it spent alone in a moist environment. He wondered what the Grandmaster intended by calling Grogu here now, of all times, considering that Cal would likely be an old man by the time Grogu was ready for real lightsaber training. Was it a warning of danger coming the kid's way? Or was there some other message that Cal was missing? Perhaps he wasn't even meant to know. It was Grogu who'd been summoned here, after all, not him. The back of Din's gloved hand pressed gently against his own, guiding him away from his worries. Tentatively, Cal reached out for it, gradually threading their fingers together. He didn't release the breath he was holding until the Mandalorian squeezed his hand in response, a small reassurance.
"What was Yoda like?"
Din asked, not quite turning his helmet to look directly at Cal. "I didn't know him well," Cal admitted, "but every Jedi knew him at least a little. He was very wise and powerful, of course. He was the Grand Master of the Jedi Council. Everyone looked up to him, but he never seemed proud or inaccessible. He spent a lot of time with the younglings, which is what I was when I knew him. He'd help us play pranks on the knights, like stealing their robes and making them chase them around the temple. Silly stuff like that." Cal replayed the hazy memory in his mind for Grogu's benefit and was rewarded with a little open-mouthed baby smile. "He always seemed so interested in everything, eager to learn new things, even though he was almost 1,000 years old and probably had more knowledge in his head than the rest of the High Council combined."
1,000 years old?
Din echoed, hollow-voiced. "Probably more like 800 or 900. Pretty damn old, anyway." Din was silent for a while. Their hands stayed clasped, even when they had to climb over fallen trees that blocked their path or go around a patch of waterlogged ground.
"Do you think he'll remember me when he's that old?"
Din asked, quiet and sad. "He will," Cal said. "You're his dad."
"But I'll have been in his life for maybe 40 years. Probably less than that with my track record. 40 years as a baby, followed by centuries."
Cal was already shaking his head. "That doesn't matter. Love, family, and our memories of it will always be stronger than the passage of time. We remember what's important to us, and right now, there's nothing more important to him than you." Din fell silent once again. Not long after that, they arrived back at the ship, which had already been covered with leaves and vines in their brief absence. Cal released Din's hand to help remove the snakes from where they'd taken up residence on the wing joints, using a long stick.
"Thank you," Din said.
"No worries. It's just snakes." The bright yellow one Cal was relocating to a nearby fern hissed threateningly, and Cal raised an indignant eyebrow at it. "Don't hiss at me. You don't want to go to Deveron."
"For what you said, I mean."
"Oh, well, it's true." Cal tossed the stick back into the jungle and strode back to the ship. He smiled warmly at the Mandalorian, taking his hand again when he passed him. "Come on, let's go home."